We're going to look here, and I want you to open up in your bulletins. You see there's a sermon outline if you do have that. And, you know, I want you just to remember with this sermon here this morning, it's referring to the marks of an effective ministry. We're all in ministry. We've all been called to do something. You know, different areas and different times, different places over the years. We've all been called. But, you know, put your name instead of Peter's name there. Put, you know, your own name. Peter was involved. Peter was Christ exalting. Put your name there. Peter was available. Put your name there. Peter was prayerful. Put your name there. Peter was fruitful. Put your name there. Peter was free from prejudice. Put your name there. So, you know, as we go through this passage here, you know, we all like to be effective. We all like to have an effect on somebody's life. You know, what we do and say always is going to rub off on somebody, either in a good way or a bad way. You know, so we're going right back into scripture here. We looked at the background over a week ago, talked about God's love last week, and I hope that we're all doing that. You know, loving, it's so much easier than loving instead of hating, because that's the opposite of love. It's a horrible four-letter word. But before that, we looked at Paul's ministry. Remember, Paul had gotten saved on the road to Damascus, then he went to Jerusalem, and then he went from there to Tyrus. And this is about 10 to 13 years worth of time, and the church had actually, calmed down. No, they didn't. They actually were fervent in spirit, and they were excited, and they went out and they told people about the Lord, and the church was growing, but they weren't being persecuted. Why? Because one of the main henchmen, or by God's grace, we're all called by God's grace, because we're all, you know, can be the most implorable type of people. We can do the most implicable type of things, the despicable type of things. But God has saved us. God loves us. And I'm not here to offend people. I'm here to tell the truth. It's nothing but the truth. And so we see here that Paul had gotten saved. Paul had a transformation in his life. Paul started to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people started to get saved. And over a 13-year period of time, and maybe even longer than that, since the church started back in Acts chapter 2 in Pentecost, you had a lot going on. You had churches springing up all over the place. So you have to remember, 13 years, that's a long time. Think about it for yourselves. 13 years. Where were we 13 years ago? Think about it. 13 years ago. I won't even go there. I like thinking ahead, not behind. But, you know, as we move on, as we run a race in the strength of the Holy Spirit, looking to our author and finisher, Jesus Christ, who's there waiting for us, just a matter of time before we're all there with everybody that we know, we've loved, and so on and so forth. And we're praying that God would prepare the hearts this week, that people who we meet, that they would understand and come to know Christ as their Savior. I love that. Somebody had prayed that. I copied off of one of the ladies in Jeremiah. The Lord help us to prepare the hearts this week. So prepare, just pray that God prepare our hearts and prepare others. So you had Paul. He was in Tarsus at this time in Acts chapter 9 and verse 30. And you have here in verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to stop right here. You know, there's just so much fear today. So many people today are so sensitive. It's amazing. I went to the high school this past week. I only saw one lady in the office wear a mask. Everybody else wasn't wearing masks. And I was just like, okay, what's going on here? You know, no mask. No mask, period. They're gone. And I was just like, wow, I was expecting there'd be masks, people wearing masks everywhere. But we need to pray about that, you know, through our government leaders. And remember, I take authority very seriously. And the reason why we do wear a mask here, because there are people that are older and we have to think about them. And we only ask that because, as the board asked that, is because we think about other people. That's all. And so we want to be very careful about that. But if, you know, others don't wear a mask, hey, do we divide? And no, we're not going to do that. Satan likes to divide and conquer. But, you know, if you don't wear a mask, that's okay. It's okay. And if you do, that's okay too. But we do it out of love. And that's what it's all about. So moving right along here, they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Spirit. We're multiplied through the Holy Spirit. People were getting saved, and there was that comfort. The comforter was there, and people were comforting one another, helping one another. And that's truly a marked effective ministry there. But, of course, starting off here in verse 32, the Holy Spirit is moving Luke to write this now about Peter. Now, we won't hear any more about Paul until Acts chapter 13. We're going to focus here on Peter's ministry. Peter was one of the disciples, as you know. He helped, and he was there when the church here at Pentecost started. We looked at that a few months ago. In verse 32, and it says here, and it came to pass as Peter passed through all the quarters. Now, that has the idea of places that, you know, Judea, Galilee, Samaria, within a 35-mile radius there, you know, you had through all the quarters. This is what was going on. He came down also to the saints, who were saints means those who are Christians, those, and I understand in the Catholic Church, they call saints those that are something special above everything else, which was brought about hundreds of years ago through the Catholic Church. The Catholic means universal church, but their doctrine, I don't believe in their doctrine. I don't believe in infant baptism. I don't believe in saying my sins to a priest. I know a lot of Catholics, a lot here in the area, very respectful, but I can't agree with the doctrine. Catholic people are very loving people, very wonderful people, but you know, I can't, it comes down to the doctrine. That's what it's all about. Give me a church with good doctrine, and you know what? I will join it, and I will do everything to support it. I will be there for that church. And everyone here today can say amen to that. So they threw out all the quarters, and the church grew, and it came down, the saints which dwelt in Lydia. Now, Lydia, of interesting, of all places, the Holy Spirit is telling Luke to write about this. Lydia is on the crossroads that we have between Syria and Egypt and Joppa and Jerusalem. So they were the crossroads there. That was the important area, Lydia. And a lot of business going on there. And you know, when there are people, God's going to get their attention. You know, we're not just here today just because God put us here. God has some very important things in our lives. If we get a hold of God, let Him get a hold of us, and we humble ourselves and let Him work through us, then we'll understand more about Him in our lives. And then we see that there is the ministry, the saints that dwelt in Lydia. So there were already Christians there at this time. There were already churches that had sprung up, and so on and so forth. And I like what Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Acts 1:8, just as a reminder to some of us, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I love what Jesus says here too. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, but then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. And for they come, there are white already. They're already out there. There are people who our hearts are being prepared even right now. And that ye that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. It's like in that song about the Macedonian vision in Acts 16. You know, there was that vision. And where did Paul go? He went to Macedonia. There was a vision. A man had a vision. And then it was related on. And so God gives us today a vision, a hope, not a false vision, not what you see on the TV sets. So somebody get up there and say, I had a vision. No, God has given us a vision, something to look forward to say, okay, I got it. I can see this with my eyes, the Word of God, and it's going to lead me with the Holy Spirit. What am I going to have to do? I'm going to step out by faith. And that's usually how it works, how God blesses us, is stepping out by faith through His grace and His knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have here, of course, number one, that, you know, Peter was involved. He stuck out. He went out there by faith. And it's interesting, we see in verse 33, and there he found a certain man named Enos, which had kept his bed for 8 years and was sick with palsy. Of course, that's a central nervous condition. And it only gets worse. You can imagine just laying there in bed all this time. He's unable to arise out of the bed. He's unable to walk, unable to wash himself, unable to dress himself, unable to feed himself, unable to take care of his own personal needs, unable to move himself. So basically, this is a very humbling, almost a, you know, humiliating experience. You know, I would think, you know, just having to lay there and you can't do anything and everybody else is doing something for you. It kind of humbles a person, I would think. I would put myself on a different level and think, my goodness, you know, what first thing I'd be thinking, what can I do to help others? What can I do to do that? You know, people have been such a good Samaritan to me, so to speak. I want to help other people. Absolutely. When we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, He took everything, all the sins of us, and put it on Him on the cross. And He was separated from His dearly beloved Father and separated from time and space. And He was made sin. And then He was made that sacrifice for me and for everyone in the world. And I'm thinking, okay, this God has got to be the most wonderful God I can ever think of. If I was ever to think of a God, who would I want? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. There is a better God than that. I thought about that over the years. Is there any God that could ever be better than the God that what we have and love and serve right now? So then the answer is, of course, no. So as we see here, Peter was involved. The question is, I have here for us this morning, we involved, you know, many different ways we get involved. And so looking here in verse 34, we see that a man can't do anything. Peter comes to him, and Aeneas says, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. You know, and that's interesting. I'm going to stop right here. You remember when Peter told Christ, you don't have to go to the cross in Matthew 16. And remember that Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Sometimes Christians can have the voice pieces, if they're not controlled by God, can be used for the enemy. I'm not saying that Christians can be possessed. That's impossible because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But we can be oppressed. And when that ugly flesh comes up, like it did with Peter, telling Christ, oh, you don't have to go to the cross. It's okay. You know, that's why Jesus said and rebuked him, Satan, get behind me. Because that thought depends what how we filter down the thought. Are we going to choose? We have choices, either to go with it or not. Oh, you know, Peter should have been right with Christ. But this time, Peter was. And Peter made a lot of mistakes, and yes, we do too. And I've learned a lot about Peter's character, because God is more concerned about our character than he is anything else. And so we see here that, and Peter said unto him, verse 34, Enos, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. It's kind of interesting that it was because his faith made him whole. If he didn't believe in Peter through Jesus Christ, then he would have just laid there and not done anything. Would have been like, okay. And you know what? I understand there's people in the hospital today. I understand there's people that have just been through horrible circumstances that, you know, as I said before, I couldn't even touch that, you know. And they have doctors and they have nurses and they've got physical therapists and occupational therapists and on and on and on. And they take good care of them. But this is a healing through the Holy Spirit that you don't see that happening today. If you do, it's very, very rare. Okay? God, today you have a healing movement where they're saying, get up in Jesus' name, and if you're not living right with God, then there must be sin in your life. That's an accusation from the devil. That is not from the Holy Spirit, from God. And we have people pray, you anoint them over with oil, claim James chapter 5. You anoint oil and put it on their forehead. You pray for them that God would heal them. And, it, you know, not instantaneously. He could do that if he wants to, but it may take some time. Others, in God's plan, in God's sovereignty, he may take others home because their time is done. I think the best thing that could have happened when my sister, he used to go around knocking on doors, telling servicemen, families that they had been shot and killed in action, was that, you know, a chaplain told her many years ago, and she told me that she's a sergeant in the Marine Corps. She says, you know what? She says, you know, everybody has their time when they go home to be with the Lord. And it was their time to go. It hit her very hard when her son was had half his body blown off in Afghanistan. It hit her very hard. Took her a couple years to get over it. But it's, you know, until it happens to you, you don't have any idea. You don't. And so we do pray for our widows here. We do pray for those who miss their husbands. Absolutely, you know. And I have all the respect to our widows here today. I do. You know, what they've been through. It just, oh, wow. You know, but let's get back to this here too, that, you know, Peter was Christ exalting. And so we see that the healing happens for God's glory, to glorify God. We're not. And it's for our good so that we can grow spiritually, and also through trials should strengthen us. Shouldn't make things make us crumble on the inside. Should strengthen us. And then, of course, because God knows each one of us is at different stages and he loves us. And you know that relationship with him even better. And through God's wisdom, he gives us wisdom. He knows what is needed by whom and when is needed and by whom is needed, where it is needed and how it is needed and why it is needed. And then we see God's mercy through all that. So here he had a man laying there for 8 years, couldn't move. And then the good news of Jesus Christ came. And spiritually, there are a lot of people out there that need it, especially our youth, because our youth are just totally confused about what's going on. Very thankful for opportunities to open up there for us. And so he arose and he took it into his own strength through the Lord, and he was made whole. And then we see in verse 35, and all that dwelt in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned unto the Lord. So they actually turned. They were going one way into the world. We're looking at Jeremiah. It's fascinating what we're going through there. But you have, you know, Jeremiah's time. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to talk about what Jeremiah had. Jeremiah was accused as being a false prophet. Even his best friends and those who were closest and their associates turned on him. Because what Jeremiah had to say was not pleasing. They didn't want to hear it. That you need to turn to Jehovah God. You need to get things right. You need to repent. You need to turn away from all these false gods you're following. And yet they were so far into it that their minds were seared. They had completely rejected God. And so even Jeremiah's closest friends and those at the temple will be looking at those at this week, decided to give him lashings up to 40 lashes. And also to put him in stocks and chains, which he had to stay there for days in a very uncomfortable position. And so your body was contorted. It kind of reminds me of Christians in Korea. What they do is they have a chain that comes down. And then what they do is they tie your hands behind your back. And then what they do, they put chains on your feet like this. And then they just raise you up enough like that. So it feels like your shoulders, your sockets, are about ready to pop out. And they just leave you there. And you start hunching over like that and you can't. And you're tired because it puts more pressure up here. So there's all kinds of ways to try to break you. You know, and Satan's out there constantly, the god of this, little god of this world, that's what it means, the devil, the accuser. And he tries to break us, and he can't, because greater is he that's in us. We have the power. We just have to use it, like I said. And I have to, the time I go home, I'm like, okay, I just preached, now I got to live this. And I'm like, okay, am I going to allow him to come into my life, cause confusion and doubt? So I have to get it together. And so we see here that there are many people who turn to the Lord. There are many people in our lives that could turn to the Lord, like in Jeremiah's time, but they refused to. And Jeremiah got to the point where he was just like, you know what? I've had enough of this. Now they're coming after me. They want to kill me. Call me a false prophet. I didn't even do anything. And, you know, except preach, tell the truth. You want to get somebody angry? Speak the truth. You know, get people upset, speak the truth. Why? Because if we don't do it in love, it doesn't mean anything. But we speak the truth because God wants us to. Lies are no good. Lies just cover over the reality of things. Lies are just wrong. And yet people want to believe a lie today instead of believing in Jesus Christ. So they turn to the Lord. Verse 36, we see that Peter is available. Are we available? And as we move along here, verse 36 says this, and there were at Joppa, which was a seaport. Now we go from Lydia down to Joppa, which is about 10 miles away. Okay? So now the Holy Spirit is directing Luke to write this. A certain disciple named Tabitha, which was her Jewish name. This is very important to hear about this, ladies. Which by interpretation is called Dorcas, which is the Greek name, is this woman was full of good works. In other words, she did everything that she could. She was out there to help out the widows. She was one of those women that other ladies were like, you know what, this lady is fantastic. She just helps me out for all good things. A woman was full of good works, did whatever she could do to help, and the alms, which she did. In other words, financially, if she could help, she would help. So she was there to help out the ladies. And we need strong ladies, and thank God we have strong ladies in this church. Oh, I know, we got and I know the men, we got strong men here, and I'm very thankful for that. But the ladies here, I tell you what, they get together and they pray. Oh, do they pray? And oh, can I sense it as a pastor? Oh, yes, I can. Because I can't really do much without people's prayers and praying for one another. We need that power. I'm very thankful here for this church because there is a very strong sense of God's prayer. And we keep up good work. Keep up our faith. It says, verse 37, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Oh, yeah, this is, you know, death is always an unwelcome visitor. And it happens at the worst times or the timeless times. You know, I never looked at it as any good, but God does. And God has taught me over the years that death is a good thing and for his honor and glory. And there's reasons why he allows these things to happen. If we look at it that way, it says, And they laid her in the upper chamber, and when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper chamber. So actually, they did not embalm back in those days for the Jewish people. They washed up a body and they pretty much buried it, and it was put up into an upper chamber, a chamber where the body, you know, wasn't a lower chamber, it was an upper chamber. So it was put up in an area there for waiting. Okay? They waited. It shows you what kind of faith they had. Now listen, don't lose this part. It's so important. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, which I said about 10 miles south, and the disciples heard Peter was there. So they heard. Number one, they heard there was somebody there who had some power. Peter did. Because why? To get the church to grow. Because the church was spreading out. It wasn't about Peter, and people preach Peter was this great man, and you know he was people pray to Peter and so on and so forth. That's ridiculous. Peter is in heaven and he's present with the Lord right now. He's having fellowship with the Lord, and he was just used as a blessing to people, as we all are here today. We're just as important. God doesn't play favorites. There's no respecter with God. We're all on the same level, but he has put us in different parts of the church, different bodies of parts of the body. And they heard Peter was there, and they sent, now listen to this, unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. In other words, they went out by faith. Have we done this week? I'm sure we have. We do it every day. We go out by faith, desiring, knowing that God's going to answer prayer. God understands that something is going to happen. They go right out there believing. Now listen, they believe that they can bring this lady back to life. Now that's a miracle in itself. Creation's a miracle. Our bodies are a miracle. Our lives are a miracle. The wind's a miracle. Everything is because God's created it. We are not his own. We were bought with a price. Therefore, we're going to glorify God today, right? And so desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So they went right away. They didn't waste any time. They said, where is Peter at? We got to find him. You ever tried to look for somebody? You ever lost something and had to find it? Oh, yeah, you know, get out of my way. I'm going to get this, get that. I got to find this. And then you find out your glasses on your head or something like that, something ridiculous. But actually, I just love this. It says here, and then Peter rose and went. Peter, right away, Peter was a very busy man, busy with the churches in the area, leading people to the Lord. And you know what? He didn't stop. He didn't stop and say, you know, I can't go, guys. I'm too busy. No, he dropped what he was doing and he went right away. It was more important. Why? Because the Spirit led him. The Spirit leads you. Go for it. Go for it. And when he came, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. Why? And showing the coats and the garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Isn't that beautiful? They were weeping and crying because these widows, if you're a widow back in that day, your husband died. A lot of them, and I hate to say this, either went poor to hungry to broke because they had nothing, unless they went number two, stuck with their families, married somebody else in their family who was single, or number three, and this is the truth, they had to prostitute themselves. Because there was no social security, there was nothing. They had nothing. And here they were standing there in rags and so on and so forth. And Dorcas came along and she would make them clothes. She loved them. She cared about them. She was there for them. And she understood. And she had a ministry and God was blessing. But like I said, everybody has their time when they are called to go home and be with the Lord. And she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down. In other words, Peter was like, okay, everybody's got to go. Everybody's got to go. Okay? And he wanted alone time with the Lord. This is important, too. Well, we need to be prayerful. You know, we're available. We need to be prayerful. You know, and the biggest blessing, I was reading this passage this past week, and I was thinking, you know, Kimberly was gone. Nobody was back at the apartment. and I had time alone with the Lord. It was the best time. The best time I had. Because I had no interruption except the little Romeo, my little dog. But he was asleep. So I was like, this is great. And I was just like, I'm enjoying this so much because I could sense God's spirit. And Peter put them forth and kneeled down and prayed and turning to him. You know, he kneeled down. Remember, prayer is like when you used to go before kings, you would kneel before kings. Jesus is our king. And he prayed, turning him to the body. And he turned to the body and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and she saw Peter. And it was just beautiful because it was the Jewish name, Tabitha. It's a pretty name, you know, for a girl, Tabitha. And she rise, and she opened her eyes, and she saw Peter, and she sat right up. She believed. She sat right up. It's like, okay, just like Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What do you want me to do, Lord? This is your body, your life. Oh, yeah, I got my responsibilities. Things are happening at home. I got a time to do this and that. But she sat up by faith. And so we today need to step out by faith. And, you know, I love what says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that kind of love. Healing love, powerful love. Living love, that love is an action word that, you know, we're going to continue on with this. This is just the beginning. We've just begun. Verse 41 says this, and he gave his hand and gave her his hand. Here she sat up and Peter reached out with his hand and lifted her up, and he called the saints and widows present and presented her alive. In other words, come on back, everybody, back in the room. Come on, I want to show you where Tabitha is. She's alive. She's well. And, you know, I am sure there must have been a lot of weeping. Because also, too, it says in this passage that they were standing there with the clothes that were made. And it's in the middle voice that has the understanding that the widows, in the Greek, has the idea that they were wearing the clothes, or they were showing the clothes and saying, don't let this dear sweet lady go. We need her. We need her. And ladies, we need you in the church. We do. We do. I tell you, there's just Christ. You can see Christ in those eyes. And you're just like, wow. We need that in men too. Seeing Christ in your eyes. It's like, wow, I need that. We need each other. We need to be encouraged. We need to be loved. You know, we got to be careful we don't get sucked in by the world. The world wants entertainment. The world wants, you know, like a different scene on the internet or TV set every few seconds. I want something else. You know, I need my fix today. But we need the love. We need to be there for one another. We need to accept one another. And so verse 42, when they receive Peter's fruitfulness, where's our fruitfulness? The fruit of the Spirit. Got that. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But also to the fruitfulness that God has many ways to bear fruit on the vine. John chapter 15. And if we don't bear fruit, it withers. So we need the strength, the power through the Holy Spirit to keep the fruit on our vines healthy. And it says here in verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So there was that saving faith at conversion. People were being converted. You know, when we've been living in sin for a long time, and we repent, get things right, we get our old love back, our first love. And it feels like we, you know, I'm not saying we lose our salvation, because that's impossible. You know, we're talking about a second works of grace, that's impossible. But I'm talking about renewing this Holy Spirit that's in us, that we quench, that we put the fire out. And then we see the true belief and repentance and transformation. Be not transformed. I'm going to turn over there right now because I feel like the Lord wants me. Romans chapter 12, verses 12, 1 and 2. And it says here, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to live as a sacrificial unto God. It's acceptable to God by the mercies of God, presenting it. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed, renewing your mind, that ye may be proved which is good. So it has the idea of being transformation, molding over into something new. You're no longer that old person. You're something new that, you know, people are going to see in you. And people have asked you, sure, since you've been saved, there's something different about you. Be transformed by the renewing your mind, that you may prove what is good. So you're going to live it, and it's going to be acceptable unto yourself and other people and to God. And that perfect, the mature will of God. So we need to continue to be maturing in His will. Say, I don't know what's going to happen today. Well, of course not. But God does. And so we want to continue to hunger, the thirst after righteousness. And so it reminded me of Moody many years ago. This one illustration that, you know, there's a man came to visit his church, and it was winter time, and Moody actually came outside in Chicago, and actually it was a couple people came to visit, and they said, what heats your church? And it's a true story. And Moody says, oh, come on downstairs. I'll show you. I'll give you a little tour of the church. Went down to the basement. This is a true story. He went into this room with these people. There were 700 people on their knees praying to God. 700 people. And that's how we know that there is power in prayer. 700 people. I can tell you different revivals that I've been at, that there have been deacons, people in the back room while they've been having revival services, that deacons have been praying. And when they stop praying, or people get involved with saying, come on, get saved, the Holy Spirit stops. The Holy Spirit's very sensitive, and the Holy Spirit wants to do His work. Do people like it when we do their work for them at jobs? No. We feel like, one, we're wrong, and two, they feel like we're doing it for them. They get kind of resentful, and three, we feel like, okay, I'm being used for the wrong thing. So the Holy Spirit needs to have His preeminence. And so there were many people that came to know the Lord. Verse 43. And I love this passage because we need it more than anything else. And it came to pass, and I'm talking about not in this church, because I don't sense it here in this church, talking about prejudice. There tarried many days in Joppa with one named called Simon the Tanner. And back in that day, to even deal with somebody who did taxidermy or somebody who skinned animals, it was mentioned to them as it was unclean. So if you were unclean, now Simon was a Jewish Christian, he would have, number one, been shunned from the temple, because they said, oh, unclean, you can't do that. You cannot be that way. Number two, you cannot be dealing with unclean animals, since you're Jewish. And also, you have to live 75 feet. They made up these ridiculous laws that you had to live 75 feet from the nearest village because you were unclean. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't treat us that way? Because we all deserve it. We're all sinners. I'm laughing at myself. Okay. And so that's the way it was. Levitically, they looked at Simon. It's like, he's impure. You're unclean. You know, can't have you. Oh, unclean. Yeah, get back. And then, but God is having Peter, after all this, Peter stays with him for a very long time. It doesn't say for how long, but this unclean person to the Jewish people was very okay with Simon Peter. And I just love this because he stayed with them. And I love churches, and I love this church, because I don't sense any kind of prejudice. church where I came from, you had Asians, you had Filipinos, you had African Americans, you had people from all different denominations. I mean, not denominations, excuse me. Skin color, you know? There was no woke. There was none of this racist. You're a racist, you know? To come back because you may not like what a person says. You're a racist, you know? That is, they're the racist. I'm sorry. But to point the finger, the accusation, which is so wrong, I don't even like to use the word racist, because that it's just hate. And that's what people try to get at today in the news, these politicians and everything else. I'm not going to even go there. I'm not going to go with the woke. But I'm saying there was love. There was love. No excuses added into that. And yet there was, you know, people have a tendency in going by the letter of the law, which the Jewish people did, but there was no spirit of love. Again, they went by the letter of law, but there was no spirit of love. And so we need to ask ourselves about the effectiveness. And of course, we don't have time, but in Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit laid it on people's heart to show no partiality. Stop with the division. Stop with the click group. Stop with this. And I don't sense this here. And I pray for those who are online as well that you're not sensing that as well. We need to be effective. But, you know, like my friend, like I said in the very beginning, he went to Annapolis to say that state prayer. But when they took Christ out, he was like, I cannot be effective here. We can't water down the truth. If I took my glasses off, I can't see too well. Okay? It's just the way the eyes are. And yet, but I need to put my spiritual glasses on. I need to be able to see through the lens of Christ. It's not saying somebody wears rose-colored glasses and sees good and everything all the time. That's a worldly thing. But spiritually speaking, we need to have the truth put on. And, of course, those who have contact lenses, too. But, you know, we need to be effective. We need to do what Christ has called us to do. And this week, take your bulletin home, study this passage. Look at, are we involved? Are we Christ exalting? Are we available? Are we being prayerful? Are we being fruitful? Are we being free from prejudice? Because the flesh wars with us. Like it says in Galatians, it says in that one passage, it's called trench warfare, where you have, literally, you have the Spirit of God that opposes the flesh, and they war in that trench warfare constantly. One with another, seeing who will get control today for the day. And it doesn't stop there. This is a continual thing that goes on. So greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. I know I've said that before, but I can't stop saying it. So let us take this time and pray. We're just going to have a short time in prayer. Pray that, Father, we just pray that we can be effective this week. And Lord, we want to be effective in truth and in spirit. And Lord, it kind of reminds me, I went to a gun show the other day, and I saw all kinds of weapons. I saw not only guns, handguns, rifles, shotguns, I even saw brass knuckles, knives, different forms of offensive, defensive weapons. But I'm always reminded that the battle is yours, like it says in Zephaniah, not by my power, but by my spirit. In Zephaniah, I believe it's 6:4 or 4:6, that it's your spirit that does the battling for us. The battle belongs to the Lord. And Lord, we think about the battles in our lives, and we want to be effective. And Lord, you can't use us unless we're clean, unless we empty ourselves of us. That's a very hard thing for some of us who haven't done it in a long time. My invitation is here. I'm not asking people to come forward. I'm not asking people to raise hands or whatever. But that's between you and the Lord. And just pray, just short time, that you can empty of yourselves and be filled with you. And I know we're all Christians here. And I know, Lord, that God, that you want to be able to use us. Lord, we pray that we can be used of you. and give something back to you, you know, being thankful and claiming Romans 12, 1 and 2, be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to the image of this world. That means the world system and all that's going on. There's some people out there that you can't tell whether they're a worldly Christian or they're not saved because there's no Holy Spirit. There's nothing there to demark what's going on. We just pray that we can be effective. We can be a blessing. Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for you taking time to die for us. We are worms. We're nothing without you because our life goes so quickly. And what we want people to remember is what we did here for you after we're gone. A lot of people are gone and you don't know. But I thank you for the people who have left here from this church that people still remember, still know what they did, still can remember their name, still see their face, and very thankful, Lord, for what they have done. We're so thankful for that. And help us to be likewise saints, being sanctified continually so that people can remember us, see you in us, not us, but you in us, and what you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.